Hello everyone. Good evening and welcome to Mahindra & Mahindra Q2 FY 2021 earnings conference call. We are glad to have you all on this call today. I'll begin with a safe harbor statement. Certain statements on this conference call with regard to the future growth prospects are forward-looking statements, which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to welcome our senior management and thank them for taking time for this call. We have with us today Dr. Pawan Goenka, Managing Director and CEO, Dr. Anish Shah, Deputy Managing Director and Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Jejurikar, Executive Director, Automotive and Farm Equipment Sector, as well as other senior leadership team, including the IR team. We also have Mr. Amit Raje, EVP Partnership and Alliances, who has joined us a few months back, and his portfolio includes mergers and acquisitions and also investor relations report to him. I'm sure a lot of you would have an opportunity to meet Amit during our interactions. Amit, you are there? Your camera is on.
I don't see him connected yet.
Okay. Okay. I think well, now I hand over the call to Dr. Pawan Goenka for the opening remarks, which would be followed by a brief presentation by Rajesh and Anish. Over to you, Doctor.
Thank you, Sriram, and welcome to our Q2 earnings call. I'm going to just request first Rajesh to make a short presentation on the operational performance and then Anish to make a presentation on financial performance. After that, we will have enough time for Q&A. I'm sure you have gone through the press release and would have analyzed the results, but we'll give you some more color in the presentations that we are making. Thank you. Rajesh?
Good evening, all of you. I'll take a few minutes to walk you through the automotive and farm sector's performance. Can you go to the next slide, Amit? This is a recap slide out of what I had shown in the beginning of the year when we had categorized our tasks into three phases of walk, run, and fly. I'll try and give you an update on how we're doing on some of the key performance measures out of this chart. We'll go to the next chart, which talks about how we've done in quarter two. For the farm equipment sector, it has been our highest ever PBIT. We did a PBIT of 1,180 crores, the highest ever PBIT margin of 24.4%, the highest ever quarterly ROC of 197%. For the first time in the farm equipment business, we've had a negative working capital, leading to a very high cash generation. All of you who track this category know that this is not easy to get a negative working capital in this business, and especially when you're in season where typically stocks are high and outstandings are hence high. These are different times, and we're really happy to see a first-time negative working capital. The automotive segment has had a PBIT growth of 4% year-on-year, despite a revenue degrowth. The 4% PBIT does include a one-time of 68 crores. Our operating margin has improved versus last year, again, in spite of a revenue degrowth. There is a significant year-on-year reduction in fixed expenses, which is fixed plus personnel. That's what has also played a role in enabling the margin growth. Again, a very high negative working capital. We do have a negative working capital normally in the auto business, but this is much higher than we've ever seen before. Next slide, please. A couple of slides I will walk you through on the rural story, and I know all of you track this very closely, but just to sum up, this is the third highest cumulative rainfall that we've seen. Kharif output is estimated to be at record high, and we are also seeing a very good monsoon, which has, of course, led to a very good reservoir level starting from last year into this year. That, in a way, sets us up well even for the next season. In case there is some risk on the monsoon, at least the reservoir levels are good, which is very good for the sentiment. Go to the next slide, please. This is a slide which I've been sharing over the last few quarters. It's an internal slide in Rural Government Spend Index made by our chief economist. And you can see that there has been a very significant turnaround in the spend index over the last few quarters. And even though you saw a dip in the previous quarter, that number is still significantly higher than the same period last year. And we can see the effects of this on the rural economy overall, because rural economy is, of course, agriculture, but a lot to do with services and overall income flows into the rural households. Next slide, please. This slide captures, in a way, what is happening in the business from, and I'm sure all of you will have lots of questions around the next, this and the next couple of slides. So we've seen a significant pickup in our tractor sales. The production, which is not on this slide, has been at highest ever levels. So the quarter two has been our highest ever production. October has been our highest ever production. And in spite of that, you have the graph on the right, which is a system stock indexed, where the stock opening, getting into season or the end of quarter two, is lower, almost half the absolute level of what it was at the same period last year. This is stock with us plus dealers. So you get a comprehensive view of stock, not just with us, but the total system stock. This, of course, has led to what you see here, which is the impact it has had on our market share. Our market share has come under pressure. These are, of course, billing market shares, not retail market shares, just to clarify. And even though we've had our highest ever production in the last few months, we are still, as you could see from the previous slide, the short slide. On the left chart, you see a chart shown consistently, which is how well the farm equipment sector manages its margins. And you can see that we've had a very healthy increase in margin, our highest ever to 24.4 last quarter. Next slide, please. We believe our market share has been impacted lesser because of the way we produced the last 3 months, but more because of the way we were able to build up stocks in quarter one. From a competitive stock build or a stock management point of view, which is what reflects in market share, couple of things very unique to us has been a high Maharashtra dependence for the Mahindra tractors. And Maharashtra did, as all of you know, have a disproportionate share of COVID and a very long period of localized lockdowns, affecting our supply chain quite significantly in quarter one. We believe, and of course, normally our business model works around being able to pre-build stocks into season a couple of months at least in advance. This time we didn't get any chance to do that. And which is why we are seeing the effect that low stocks and have been having on our market share. As we get post festival season, we hope to build back these inventories, because as you can see, we are producing now record levels, and we should have adequate stock, we believe, getting into quarter four. The period 15 November will be used to do that. We've also deprioritized exports because of the domestic demand, and we will start servicing our export requirements as well post mid-November. We'll go to the next slide, please. This is, I'm sure, something which will be music to all your ears, something that all of you have been asking about, which is the turnaround, the FES global business. You will see from the numbers that in quarter two, the FES global subsidiaries did turn in an overall positive number of 3 crores on the back of several of the businesses doing well. Magna market share improved by 80 basis points. Retail volumes were up by 41% in quarter two. We billed much lesser than that because we have continued our endeavor to bring stocks down in the pipeline. And of course, some of it was because we've not exported from India adequately. So the Magna team was under pressure on availability. Brazil has done very well. Mexico has done well. And Turkey operation saw turnaround in quarter. Next slide. Move on to the automotive space. You can see that sequentially we built up our sales quite strongly. And the chart on the right really says the story. These are indexed system stocks for the automotive sector. And you can see that we are at still a very, very low level. This was opening October. And of course, opening November, that's gone down even further. We'll move on and I'll talk more on this over the next few slides. This, of course, has impacted our volumes. We believe demand has been strong and we can talk more on that in the Q&A. And we've had availability as a key constraint, even though we've ramped up well. You can see that we've had degrowth in our key segments. Three-wheelers, of course, we were not ready with BS6 and have just started BS6 a few weeks back, which is why you see a very significant degrowth there. We are showing you a 2 to 3.5 ton market share, but we would say don't read too much into market shares in this period of time because the supply side for every OEM is uncertain at this point of time. Right? So basically, the story of the automotive supply side is primarily because of a very, very low pipeline due to the BS6 transition in February and March. So just to recap what happened, we were just about to start our BS6 transition in February and March. In February, it got disrupted because of the global lockdowns, and in March, India went into a lockdown, and all the BS4 was sold out. So when we opened post-lockdown, we actually almost had close to zero dealer stock of BS6, and our whole pipeline was dry. We have a very, very high Maharashtra bias in the automotive. Chakan, Nasik, Igatpuri, and Kandivali are all Maharashtra-based manufacturing facilities. Maharashtra had a disproportionate share of COVID, and we had no stock to make up for that. And in the meanwhile, we were also transitioning to BS6, and there were many parts which were new because of BS6 transition. We believe all of that is behind us. Production levels are at much better, have much more stability at the moment. And again, post-festival season, we hope to build stock back, and we should have greater stability as we go into quarter four on our availability. Next slide. This brings out the automotive financial performance, and you can see even though we've had year on year minus 22% on volume, revenue has been down year on year minus 8%. Our PBIT margin still has gone up. There is a one time in this, but we've still shown a very reasonable PBT of 3.6%. And when you look at it sequentially, of course, there is a big swing from quarter one of this year to quarter two, which is visible on the slide. Next slide, please. I'm going to touch on a couple of points around the run phase, and more specifically, next slide, you will see, move to the next slide, the two key initiatives that we had outlined. One was building on the Krishi, and the second was the launch of Thar as a way of strengthening the SUV core brand differentiation. So I'll talk first on Krishi on the next slide, please. So Krishi is about providing a high level of engagement, on-ground activation to our farmers. We believe this will create a moat to our core business of tractors and farm machines through a series of services. There's Agri Advisory, which is both physical and digital. Rentals, precision farming solutions, products, which is agri inputs and micro irrigation, and partnerships. So we're working on all of these and are now into a stage where we've done our pilots and are ready for rollout and have started rolling out. On the next slide, please. You will see the rollout of Krishi going across 7 centers in Maharashtra in October and 3 more in AP and Telangana in November. We've got very good feedback. We are running something called Taknik Plots. We have 1,000 Taknik Plots across different parts of the country where we're demonstrating to farmers the productivity improvement that they're able to get. So they create a matched plot which we work on versus what they have. And that is helping build very strong word of mouth as the effects of all the technology deployment on the farms is very visible to the farmers. Next slide. We've also launched the new Mahindra Plus series. We had spoken about that the last time. This has gone through very well. Significant improvement in the product offering. And it has been ramped up well. It did also go through a transition as you know, the ramp up happened in the middle of COVID, but it has gone through well and we've stabilized at a very good level of volume. And this is in our core business of Bhumiputra and Sarpanch. And we would see if we would like to see high migration of the old product to the new. Quite a bit of it is done because this is a significantly better offering than what we had earlier. Next slide, please. I'll talk a little about Thar as we go on to the next slide. The Thar, as you all know, has done very, very well. We've had more than 20,000 bookings already. We did a very interesting reveal on 15th August, connected it with the Freedom Drive. We've also done some very interesting events, pre-launch of 2nd October, one of which was the Her Drive, where we had several women protagonists who did an adventure drive at Igatpuri in Maharashtra. You see a snap of that there. And some very interesting things like Anand Mahindra's Thar playlist, which got crowdsourced in a manner of speaking with 101 songs on it. So next slide, please. One of the very interesting lead-ins to the launch was the auction of the number one Thar, the first Thar. We had 5,500 registrations. 37 bids were above 50 lakhs. And four of the bids were above a crore. The top bid was for 1.11 crores, and we Mahindra contributed an equal amount, which got donated to the Swadesh Foundation. Next, please. These are some key highlights out of the success story of Thar launch so far. We've had more than 20,000 bookings. You can see more than 10 million plus media reviews. And most interestingly, and I do remember some of you asked this question last time about whether Thar will attract a new type of buyer. You can see that out of the 20,000 plus bookings, 44% are automatic, clearly indicating that we are bringing in a very new buyer, a lifestyle customer, urban centric, and very mainstream car buyer. 55% of them are first time and not engaged with Mahindra earlier. And of course, very, very good searches and excitement around the launch. Next slide, please. So if I was to just summarize how we are on the walk, run, fly, you can see we believe we managed our cash very well. We managed our margins very well. We managed to ramp up with safety. Strong focus on core domestic, a strong focus on turning around our global businesses. You're seeing results of that on the FES side. And a lot of work happening on building, especially on our SUV core brand differentiation, which starts with Thar being the flagship and many new launches on the end. With that, thank you very much for listening in, and over to you, Anish.
Thank you, Rajesh, and a very good evening to everyone. Let's start with the main headlines or messages for today, which really is centered around the farm business. A very strong performance for domestic farm, highest OPM ever. And not just the farm business, but if you look at auto as well, it has an industry leading OPM. International subsidiaries, we've seen a very positive trajectory for farm again. And that will help us a lot in terms of solving all our issues around international subsidiaries. I'm sure you'll have many questions around that and we can talk about it as well. And just a very strong cash generation for this quarter. So overall, a great story in terms of coming back on track. Key definitions first, which you've seen before, we have broken out international subsidiaries of auto and farm separately, as we are tracking that very closely. And besides that, we have domestic auto, domestic farm, and investments that makes up everything else. First, to start with standalone results, revenue up 6%. And operating PAT down 3% to 1,311 crores. You see the OPM highlighted there at 17.8%. And you also see the highlight with regard to the PAT after EI, which is down at 162 crores. And we'll talk about the impairments that really bring it down from 1,311 to 162. But before we do that, on the next slide, let's look at operating PAT and the key drivers. focusing on the left hand side first, domestic farm, the star of the day or of this quarter, is 892 crores in terms of PAT, up from 418 the same quarter last year. Domestic auto, more or less flat, about 15 crores lower than last year. International subsidiaries don't impact much at the standalone pre-EI line. And investments are significantly lower. And that's essentially as a result of dividends being lower at TechM and at Mahindra Finance. So what you see on the right is, as we walk from last year's 1355 to 1311 this year, the two key drivers are the uptick in farm and the downside in dividends, which has impacted us by 502 crores. We go next to the impairment. It is significant, and this is part of our efforts to essentially take care of all the issues with regard to our international subsidiaries. We have promised that by the end of this fiscal year, we will have taken care of all the issues. We are on track to doing so right now. And these impairments result in our 1311 crore of PAT before EI coming down to 162 after EI. As we look at the consolidated financials, revenue up 2%, the PAT before EI is up significantly from 326 to 906 crores. Let's take a look at that on the next page. And what we see there is, again, domestic farm driving a significant variance there. What we also see for the first time in a few quarters at least is international subsidiaries of auto and farm driving a positive uptick between the same quarter last year and this year, up at 95 crores. And that's, again, driven a lot by the farm subsidiaries that Rajesh talked about. And that results in a 906 crore. And as we look at the walk from 906 to 136, these are entity level impairments for assets in line with what we saw on the standalone side. So the same entities have taken impairments at the asset level, and that's resulted in a lower consolidated PAT after EI. Looking at our listed entities, TechM came in with a reasonably strong performance, up 3% from a revenue standpoint, down 5% from a PAT standpoint. Mahindra Finance did exceedingly well in a very tough quarter. Income or PAT is up 34%. Holidays obviously got hit with all of the COVID-related issues. Everyone in hospitality has been impacted. But because of its model and its timeshare and approach, we see a lower impact overall, where revenue is down only 13%. I say only because that's compared to other players in the travel industry, and PAT is actually up 3%. Real estate business is the worst hit amongst the lot, and that is really a function of the real estate industry in the post-COVID time. We're starting to see some green shoots there, but as we see this for the last quarter, we do see a significant impact. So in terms of our action plan, this is consistent with what we've talked about earlier. Stay firm on capital allocation, drive growth, continue our improvement in international subsidiaries. We have farm for this quarter, but we need to do that across the board. And come back with a very clear narrative on auto, which includes a strategy for electric vehicles. Work is underway on that. And again, as we've done for the international subsidiaries, by the end of the year, we will have a clear narrative on auto that we will present as well. So the slide that I think will gain a lot of attention, as it has over the last couple of quarters, the path to 18% ROE. We have one more company that is on this now, which is Gyps Aero. This is our aircraft business that made 8 and 10 seater aircrafts in Australia. And while we say exit announced, it's actually gone further than that. We have shut the business down now, and we have moved it to a service model, where we will just meet our obligations for the next couple of years for the planes that we have sold. And after that, that will be shut down as well. So that obviously has some impact on our impairments, as you saw earlier. And we are continuing our efforts on all of our international subsidiaries. And I will repeat that by end of this year, we will have a clear view on all of them. Moving next. On growth, you've seen our 10 gems before. What we wanted to highlight this time was the revenue and profit numbers for each of these. This is looking at our F20 numbers right now, just so that we can see full year in a reasonable year, which is not COVID impacted. What we see is these 10 businesses make up 10,000 crores of revenue and 172 crores of PAT. So these are substantial businesses as a whole. Each one of them is well positioned in its market and has the ability to scale. Some may be 2x, some may be 5x, but we feel that this set of businesses will give a huge fillip to growth over the next few years. And that's what we will continue to drive. And with that, I would say that Mahindra is very well positioned to be the gateway to the largest and fastest growing themes in India. And back to you, Pawan, and we'll open it up for questions soon after that.
I was on mute. So thank you, Rajesh and Anis. Please come in with any questions that you may have. Sriram, did you receive any sort of questions prior to the session? Do you want to read one or two of them if you did?
So we have received questions. Also, there are some people who are already ready. Just a reminder for everyone, you can use the raise hand option if you have questions. And also you can put it on the Q&A window that you see on your screen. The first question goes from the line of Nomura Securities, Kapil Singh. Kapil, your line will be unmuted.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Kapil.
Faintly, Kapil, if you can speak up a bit, that will be helpful.
Hi, Kapil, go ahead. Is this better?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Thanks, Kapil.
Okay. Thanks, sir. First of all, congrats. I think it was a great set of results. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on your cost side, we have seen pretty strong performance this quarter. When we look at the business in more normalized kind of environment going ahead, how much cost reduction do you think you would have achieved? How much of this savings, for example, in categories like other expenditure or employee cost will sustain? And there was some mention of a one-off item as well. So that's the first question. Second is on, I'm pretty happy to see the disclosures that we are improving on the investments. Could you also share on the cash flow side, we've seen almost 2,800 crores of cash outflow for investment. So what is your guidance for capex and investments, and where has this money gone? These are questions. Thanks.
No. Rajesh, could you take the first one and any second one?
Just to be clear, the first one you want me to take is on what are the costs will be sustainable.
That's right. What are the costs that are sustainable?
Cost reduction, Kapil, hi. Thanks for your comments and your question. There's some changes we're making fundamentally in the way we are running our business, learning out of COVID. We believe that many of those will be sustainable. For example, the role of digital marketing can actually be a sustainable saving. And we've done a lot of that in the case of Thar, to take an example, where we've created a lot of excitement and achieved the kind of response we have without actually almost not going mainstream on advertising. So that's one example of using digital. We've done several launches, including in tractors. The whole Plus series, all launches have happened digitally. Customer meets are happening digitally. All of these are very, really, very sustainable changes in cost structure. The way we are communicating with our employees, people, customers, so on. So that, I think, is one bucket which certainly is sustainable. We think also a lot of the travel cost reductions will, at least half of it, will be sustainable. So there are changes in the business model which certainly are going to, we believe, be sustainable, and we are doing a lot to make sure that we institutionalize these changes, and we even do budgeting going into the next year. These go in as targets, coming out of a well-documented learning out of everything that we have out of managing these times. That being said, there are things which are not completely within our control, and one of that is commodity price. And we are seeing at this point of time pressures in quarter three on commodity prices. Last two quarters were benign. So there is an offsetting of improved fixed cost structure with a some risk on the commodity price, some risk on forex on, to some extent on any small imports that we may have or our suppliers may have. But these are unknowns. I'm talking about these are things which we can't control. The other area, especially on the tractor side, which I think has been very favorable, is a good price realization coming, of course, out of benign commodities, but also a situation where demand has been much more than supply. It's again an external factor, and while you know that we don't do anything unreasonable by way of discounting, the right now we, because of supply situation, not had to worry about a competitive context at all. So when we do start worrying about a competitive context, there could be some pressure on pricing beyond what we have right now. So I think we have to balance the upsides and downsides, but our endeavor will be to keep delighting you all with strong performances on margins and costs.
Kapil, before Anish comes to the second question, I just want to add to this, because this is a question that is on mind of many people. And when I'm speaking, I'm not speaking specific to Mahindra, but general for the industry and perhaps for all industries. There are a lot of things that we were doing earlier in the way we ran our business, which we now wonder why we were doing it that way. And the opportunities of saving cost, fixed costs especially, is plenty. Rajesh talked about a few things. I could add to it. Everybody's questioning why we need number of offices that we have around the country. We are questioning why do we need to do the events that we do, number of events that we do, and how much money can we save and how much time can we save by reducing the events. How much inventory we need to run the business, both the dealer at our plants, also is being questioned. So that there are almost every part of the business is getting re-looked at, simplified and made more efficient. And therefore, in fact, there are a few things that have happened in these last 6 months, which may not sustain, like Rajesh mentioned, but there are a few things that we have not yet done, which we are in the process of doing, which would perhaps bring us even more cost saving. I don't know where the final balance will come out, but I think if one thing that COVID has done for us positive is made us rethink almost everything that we are doing as to why we are doing it that way. Anish?
Yes, and Kapil, I'll just add to that before coming to your second question. I would expect cost reductions. The way we've done it this year is we had people put costs into a category of must-have, nice-to-have, and we can eliminate. Now, what we can eliminate is not going to come back. As we look at must-have and nice-to-have, while this year was only must-have costs, next year we're going to look at that again and say, why does some nice-to-have need to become must-have? And that in itself will create a cost benefit as well. So I would expect this cost to come down. As Pawan said, this crisis has created an opportunity, and that's one thing that has benefited us. If I come back to your second question, 2,800 of cash has been spent in essentially three areas. The first one was the largest. We have publicly announced the Mahindra Finance rights issue, and that was 1,641 crores. The second is to reduce the debt at some of our international subsidiaries, some at higher amounts of debt, and we've converted that to equity in line with what we felt was prudent. And the third was operational from an international subsidiary standpoint, largely, and some of other subsidiaries here as well. So those were smaller amounts, but that's really where that's gone. And therefore, yes, we would see that number coming down, because the rights issue at Mahindra Finance is not going to be repeated again, and the conversion of debt to equity is not going to be repeated again as well.
Okay, thanks.
What is the overall investment target that we have for this year and next year?
So on that, Kapil, what we will do is come back with a clearer view of that once we have the international subsidiary situation behind us. Because there, as I said last time, we are looking at the three categories, A, B, C, and you will then know which companies continue in category A. And based on that, we will be able to come back and say, here's what we're going to put aside in terms of allocation for funds to them.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thanks, Kapil.
68 crores,
Sorry, could you repeat that, please?
68 crores one-off.
68 crores one-off.
That is Rajesh on the auto OPM, IPS.
Yeah, that's the IPS, the investment subsidy. There was a backlog of something which was carryover after the GST change.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Kapil. I request participants to restrict to one question. We can come back on the queue. The next question is from Ritesh Goyal of Kotak Mahindra. Ritesh, you can go ahead.
Thank you, and congratulations for the management for a very good set of results. My question is actually on Sangyong Motors. Anish, you had specified that by end of this fiscal, you'll take care of most of the loss-making subsidiaries. So what does it mean for Sangyong Motors? Where are we right now in terms of the bids that is coming up for Sangyong? And what is, like, this bids don't come through? What is the game plan on it? So if you can give us some more color on Sangyong Motors.
Anish? Sure. So there, what I'd say is that we continue to stay firm with our view that we're not going to invest anymore. SsangYong is looking at a potential investor. There have been discussions that SsangYong is having with them. Once there is a clarity on that, we will come back with details. So SsangYong will publicly, make public those details. As I said before, we stay firm with our view that we're not going to invest more. And we will have to look at, in many ways, the situation will resolve itself in the next few months. We are hoping that it resolves itself in a way that's beneficial for everyone.
Okay. And can I just ask Rajesh, what is the outlook for the tractor segment for FY21? Because last time we had talked about a single-digit growth, but most of the industry participants are now talking about double-digit growth. So can you give some outlook there, Rajesh?
Yes, Satesh, it is low double digits for the industry for
FY21.
I would state that up until now, the industry has grown about 12%, right, Rajesh?
Yeah.
YTD October is 12%, and we would think similar growth for remaining year.
Thank you, Itesh. The next question is from the line of Gunjan Pithiani from JP Morgan. Gunjan, you can go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. I just had a follow-up to the first question on the cost side. Now, on the farm segment, you did point out these are the record margins that we've seen. Now, as some of the cost come back and the supply side normalizes, what is the range that we should keep in mind, for this business? I mean, typically in past, you've guided to somewhere in the range of, sub 20%, but we have exceeded that by a mile in this quarter. So any color on that?
Anish, you want to take that? Gunjan, thanks for the confidence you have in us, and I'm glad that you see us beating our estimates. Just keep counting on that. We don't give specific guidance on margins.
You like to do your own math.
Yeah.
We have given you pluses and minuses. You do your own math.
Okay, got it. Let me just then move the conversation to the capital allocation. Now, it's good to see the aerospace, you've taken a call on that. If you can just give some, if I look at the financials for aerospace, there was about 300 crores of loss that this business had. So it's fair to assume that incrementally there are going to be no losses from this subsidiary, and the large part of investment write-off, which we have seen in this quarter, is coming because of aerospace. If you can clarify that as well.
So Gunjan, aerospace has two parts to it. One is aircraft, which was GIPS Aero business, and second is aerostructures. The aircraft business has been shut down. There have been losses in the past, and there will be no losses going forward, except for a very small amount, which is as a result of a service arm that we have to keep open to meet our obligations for the next couple of years or so. So that's going to be a very small amount that we will see in future numbers as well. But I would not say that's significant. On aerostructures, that's a business that is a longer term business, a long cycle business, that's essentially making parts for Boeing and Airbus and its tier one suppliers. We're actually very well positioned in it now. We are one of the leading players in India for this business. and we've got a very good reputation with the Tier 1 as well as with Boeing and Airbus directly. All the hard work is behind us for this. Any new part there takes a long time for it to get certified as well. We have a number of parts that have been certified already, and we see a lot more upside in that business going forward, but that will be in sort of a 3 to 5 or 5 to 7 year window. That is not a business that takes up a lot of cash either. So in after that clarification, just to directly answer the question, yes, we see all the issues for both aircraft and aerostructures behind us.
Okay, and the sub write-off is largely the 900 crores coming from this, or is there anything else besides this?
We have not been sharing the details every quarter. So what I will do is at the end of the year, we will come back with all the details in terms of this is what was impaired and where. But we will, at this point in time, prefer to stay with our current approach, which is not share the details every quarter because there can be some pluses and minuses there.
Okay, just last question, if I can squeeze on the tractor segment. Clearly supply chain issues, we've kind of lost some market share. But as you look at the remainder of the year, which is not going to be as peak, a season, do we expect to recoup the market share, or we should assume that for this year, our growth is going to lag the industry growth on a full year basis on F21?
On a full year basis, we will lag the industry because it's there isn't enough volume left to recoup what is lost, unfortunately.
Okay.
Because as you know, bulk of the industry happens in May, June, July, and then October, November. Bulk of the industry volume is at that time. Jan, March market shares typically can't outweigh. We may make something back, but we can't probably make up everything that we lost. That would be our current input right now. But we don't see this as a fundamental loss.
Okay.
Because our brands have been in very, very strong demand. And it's just unfortunate that we haven't had, as you saw on the index stock chart, enough tractors on the ground to convert them into sales. So we don't see this as a fundamental loss at all in our position at the moment.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gunja. Again, the request is to limit to one question and if any follow up on that. So the next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Shyam, you can go ahead. Shyam, you are there?
Is Shyam on mute?
Shyam, we are not able to hear you.
You can go to the next question and then come back.
Okay. So the next question is from the line of Amin Pirani from CLSA.
Yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question was more on the tractor cycle. If you look at all automotive categories, tractors has had the shortest down cycle, and we are already in a growth stage this year compared to other categories. Given a lot of things which are happening, on the farm side in terms of regulation, I know it's early days. Can you give us a sense, as to how this tractor cycle, could it be like the tractor cycle which we saw, at the start of this decade? Or will it be like a short cycle that we saw, at 3 years ago? I mean, is there any initial sense of, what's happening on the ground?
Thanks for your question. The one thing we believe we've not really been able to predict is when exactly tractors will see growth and when it won't. And many things drive that. And when I'm saying that, I mean in a very specific next year, will there be growth or not? And if yes, how much? That's why I normally wait till a later stage and as clarity emerges before committing to a given growth rate for a given coming year. What we do always reinforce to all of you is that irrespective of the slight ups and downs that happen in the tractor cycle, the common thread that you will see is a 8% CAGR, and whichever way you split it, you see an 8% CAGR, and that's something I do believe that we should build into the way we think about going into the future. We also believe that it is normally a strength that all of us have by way of building agility in supply chains. In a non-COVID era, at least we've been very good at it. To be able to respond to quick increases or reduction in demand either way and manage our margins very well in an up cycle or a down cycle. So it's very hard to say how long a cycle will last and what triggers it or not. And of course, part of the issue is that the numbers we look at are all billing numbers and not retail numbers. So there is a limitation in an industry of this kind to look only at billing numbers to project growth. Of course, we have our own econometric modeling, which is at literally a tehsil level based on multiple factors that happens at each tehsil district, and we build that modeling up for the entire country. We don't do a top-down econometric modeling. We do a very, very base-level econometric modeling, something we call geonomics. And that has a reasonable level of accuracy, but I would just suggest that, you know, the best thing to do in tractors is think about a CAGR on an ongoing basis rather than whether 1 year will be very good or very bad. Too many variables come in which affect the short-term performance of the industry. I don't know, if you want to, I know Sriram has a restriction on number of questions, but if you have a follow-up on that, I'm happy to take it.
No, I appreciate that. And just very quickly, we've been talking implements business for a long time, you know, in terms of mechanization. Is there any, you know, new launches that we are having there? How are the existing products doing in terms of uptake? If you can give us some update on that.
We're seeing a very, very good year in the farm machine business. In fact, quarter two, we've had, 90-something% growth. In farm machines, every part of the portfolio is doing well. Rotavators, harvesters, some of the newer pioneering products that we've launched, rice transplanters, Punjab. So the whole spectrum of farm machinery business is really picking up and has seen very good momentum in Q1 and Q2.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Shyam, I think you are back online. Can you unmute and ask your question?
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. This is Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Thanks for taking my question. I hope I'm audible, sir.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Sir, very heartening to see a strong operational performance this quarter. One question on this FES global subsidiaries. We have done turned around most of those businesses, posting a small positive EBIT this quarter. Is it reasonable to assume that even going forward, given the global agri cycle being on a slightly positive trend, can sustain this positive EBIT momentum into the second half and well into the next year as well? And added to that, sir, in terms of our path to 18% ROE, will we have to provide for impairments for the businesses that fall in the bucket C, where there is no clear path to the ROE and which is not strategic to M&M?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll take the first one. Maybe Anish, you take the second.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Shyam Sundar, thanks so much for your question. So what I'd like to say on the FES subsidiaries is, you know, we had seen a couple of companies, especially Magna, post very big losses over the last 2 years. And that was a big drag on the overall FES global performance. We had at that time said that quite a substantial part of that was one time as we were clearing up the pipelines, bringing stock levels to very reasonable levels, restructuring costs at Magna. And in the last analyst call, we had said that we will at least cut the losses in Magna by half this year. We think we are well on path to that. Several other restructuring exercises are being done in various parts of the FES global subsidiary organizations. And as Anish has been saying, we are in any case evaluating every company, the ABC bucket. So to your specific question on will we see the same kind of PBIT every quarter, I don't think I would want to commit to that at this stage. But I think you what you will see is that the substantial losses that we were making will be behind us. And we should be in a range of something which is reasonable. And there would be, not to say that we won't have profits at all, but we should be in a range which is reasonable. And by the end of the year, that would hopefully be in businesses which are very strategic. Anish, you may want to add on to this, or Pavan as well.
I just want to add only one point on Musa. As we had reported earlier, that Musa was a one-time correction because of very high inventory in the pipeline, which we wanted to correct. And thanks in part to COVID, we have almost overcorrected now. So there's absolutely no inventory issue now in Musa, and that was a very big task that took us almost 2 years, I think, to correct. Anish?
So, Shamsundar, I'd say two things. One is, for all of the subsidiaries, by end of the year, as I've said, we will have a clear view of whether they are on a path of 18% ROE, a strategic quantifiable benefit or not. So even the smart subsidiaries, as we're doing a lot of work with them right now, for all the ones that we decide to keep, they will either have category A or category B. So from that perspective, yes, not only losses will reduce, but also we will start seeing profits in those businesses as we go through the next couple of years. On your second question, we already are providing for impairments for businesses, and that's what you've seen over the last couple of quarters where we've done impairments, including this quarter. We've taken the tougher businesses first, and therefore the impairments have been higher in the last two quarters. I'm not going to give a forward-looking view on that, but all I will say is the businesses that we're looking at now are the easier businesses or ones that we feel are in a better chance of going to category A or B. We've focused on the options for category C first, and we've already listed a number there. And I will just add, for the ones that we have done on C already, we have taken all the impairments that are required for them.
Okay, wonderful, sir. That's very helpful. Sir, just one question on the auto side, because of the very low inventory situation, which was exacerbated by the production challenges, specifically on the LCV, are we at a risk of losing sales per se, or have we prioritized LCV over the UV for now? How are we managing this specific situation?
I'll take that, Shamsundar. I guess right now when you're referring to LCV, you mean the pickup portfolio, because that's where we have had a set of, I won't say supply issues. We are in the pickups we are making to our full capacity. We are enhancing our capacity. The shortage of capacity hasn't been with us. It has been with some of our suppliers, and we've already triggered actions to put that in place. Typically, what happens in pickups is, we do have a stock and pipeline, and we do build up stock before season. Unfortunately, this year, like in tractors, we haven't been able to do that in pickups. So pickups, we are operating at full capacity. It's not like we've short produced, but that hasn't been enough given the huge surge in demand that happened in pickups. And given that we had no pipeline inventory, we've been very challenged on the availability. But again, we should get into building that back post November 15th when Diwali is over. And in the meanwhile, as we move to the next wave of demand, we are working on enhancing our supplier capacity. It's a very small investment that needs to be made with suppliers, which we have already initiated.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. I'll fall back. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Shyam. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Nishit? Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a very, very strong set of numbers. My question is primarily on investment in subsidiaries. Even if we exclude Mahindra Finance, there was still almost a 1200 crores kind of an investment in subs. Anish did highlight that a part of it is to reduce debt level and a part is operational in nature. Just wanted to understand the breakdown between the two so that we are able to look at the sustainable part in a clear way. So basically, just either you can classify by different subsidiaries, or if you at least can classify what was the amount to reduce debt levels, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, so on that, what I would say is, this year what we've done is basically trying to follow the practices we've had before. And by end of this year, as we have all our international subsidiaries addressed, we will come up with a new set of practices. I can sense the need for a little more transparency on some of these numbers. So we will take this feedback into account, but we will do it consistently. So at this point in time, I will stay with the practice we have, which is not look at and buy company. And we will come back with more details on this, and we will try and meet the needs that you and others have expressed around greater transparency for these numbers.
Okay, sir, we will wait for the details. So just one more follow-up. On the impairment side, obviously you cannot share the details at this point, but if I look at the consolidated results, almost 600 crore loss seems to be there in the auto business if I look at segment results before exceptional and segment results after exceptional. So it is fair to assume that a large part of the impairment is related to auto business and not the aerospace business that you talked about in terms of shutting down.
See, there are numbers, as I said, at this point in time, we won't get into specific entity details because we do have to make sure that we're consistent with our practice on this. But as I also said, that once we have the international subsidiaries behind us, which is by end of this fiscal year, we will share all the details at that point in time. It will become a much clearer picture as to where that's coming from.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. We'll wait for the details.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Nish. The next question is from Venugopal of Bernstein. Venu, you can go ahead.
Hi. Hope you can hear me. Thanks a lot. Firstly, congratulations on a great quarter. Actually two small questions for me, if I may. The first one is, global businesses, subsidiaries of yours, both in farm as well as autos, rather than asking you specifically about each business, just wanted to know, are there any of these subsidiaries or associates where you are actually seeing a deterioration in performance or in let's say the last 3 months or 6 months, which you would want to call out? I'm basically saying it could be maybe something like in Europe, you're having problems in Peugeot, for example, or so any business where you're actually incrementally worried. That's my first question.
I think you're asking the same question again, different way.
Yes, it is.
Same answer. You'll give the same answer again.
No, let me, in this case, give you a little bit more than what has been asked for, because you specified you're not asking for it by entity. So I do appreciate that and thank you for it. But what I will say, which is a reality, that every subsidiary that has been performing worse than before has been addressed. Everything that we have today has been performing better than it has performed before. That does not mean that they will be in category A or B. Though there's a good chance that many of them may be there, it does not mean that. But to answer your question directly, yes, what we are seeing today in all the subsidiaries that we have not talked about as already as category C, they are in a better performance than they have been before.
Thanks a lot. A second small question. I just wanted to hear from all of you, especially regarding Thar, because it's clearly a big success, right? So what in your view are the drivers for this success? And the reason I'm asking this is to understand two things. One is sustainability of that. And number two is these learnings of success, how does it actually translate into the newer launches, the next set of launches you're doing? Is this something where you think probably, needs to be calibrated to achieve the similar sort of, initial traction? And the reason I'm asking this is because SUVs is one area, you get a lot of questions on market share concerns, and this business could be challenging in future. So in that context, since we have a success story, at least in the initial phase to highlight.
Go ahead, Rajesh.
Yeah, Venugopal, thanks for that question. We've actually spent quite a bit of time documenting the learnings, and it's not often when you have a success that you spend time writing down the learnings, but we did it for exactly the same reason that you said, so that as we get into the newer launches, we are very clear in our mind what worked for us and what we still need to do better than what we've done this time around. So yes, we have gone through that process of documenting the learnings, and I'll take a couple of minutes maybe to walk you through some of them. One is more a strategic call, right? And if you remember, in over the last two presentations, we've been very strongly reinforcing to you that our success is going to lie in creating products which are core to the Mahindra DNA. Products which look and feel like a Mahindra. and are not going to be wannabe SUVs. Thar, and we had said that even before the launch, that we strongly believe that Thar represents that core Mahindra DNA. And I can tell you with the same confidence that the 601 and Z101 strongly represents that core DNA of Mahindra. When you see it, it is going to look very distinctive, very different, and very Mahindra. We are very, very confident. So the product of Thar, the way it has been designed, the proportions, the refinement have all been one very strong factor in enabling the success of Thar. I think the other thing that worked very well for us was connecting Thar to a very indirectly the spirit of freedom, of the freedom of India. And that's why it was very important for us to get it out on 15th August, because there was a kind of momentum that got built around that as an occasion. And then linking the launch again to 2nd October, where again there is a very strong association with it being our Founders Day and our 75th year, but also a very important day in the calendar of Indians. So around that, we've been able to create excitement in between through multiple things that I had in my presentation. I think we've got our pricing reasonably well. And we went in with also a complete offering. So we had gasoline, automatic, and everything else. We've used money very judiciously. As I said earlier, we've not really yet gone on mainstream television, though we are going to be having a theme communication. We may or may not use it, or we'll decide the right time. But we've really been able to create excitement around using digital communities. Saw some of the data out there. There are some specific videos that have got made by either bloggers or journalists, which have each had over 1 million views. Even a single market like Kerala has had some of the bloggers get them over 1 million views. And these are all organic, not paid for. So I'm hence giving you examples of journalists and bloggers getting viewership. So I think it is connecting with the Mahindra DNA, being very focused on what is our SUV core differentiation, staying true to that, not trying to be somebody who we are not. And we strongly believe if we continue to do that, the market share will come. We shouldn't come at it the other way to say, what do we need to do to get market share? I think all we need to do is, what is it that we need to do to be ourselves? And I think market share is going to come. So, you know, I would again reinforce to you all, market share will come, but we will make sure it comes to the right positioning of our brand and by delivering what we have to. I think what we haven't probably done well enough right now is to leverage the opportunity through volume ramp up, which we are in the process of doing. As soon as we revealed on 15th August, we knew the demand is going to be much higher than what we had anticipated, and had triggered everything that we needed to ramp up production. And we should start seeing some of that happening. Most of that was with suppliers, and we should start seeing the effect of that starting. Pawan, you want to add in?
No, I think you have covered everything. I just want to bring back one point that you made, which don't get lost. This is probably the first time that we have launched all variants together. Petrol, diesel, manual, automatic, three different types of body top. In the past, we have always done sort of one core, and then after that, after slowly we launch more. And I think that also has been a big reason for success, and it's a lesson learned for us for future. That when we launch new products, then we should be ready with all variants and not just the core variant.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Pawan, we have a couple of questions, a lot of questions left. Can we just extend it?
Let's take two more questions, then we'll
wrap up. Okay. The next question is from Pramod Kumar of Goldman Sachs. Pramod?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sriram, and congratulations to the management. My question is to Rajesh on the product side. Rajesh, Thar, we've seen, despite it being a three-door sub-4-meter product, it has done exceptionally well in terms of demand. So just thinking, has the success triggered a thought process that there is probably a larger market which you can access with a more mainstream product like a five-door, larger wheelbase, which can be accessed by, can be a regular car, regular commuter product as well. So which could be a significantly larger addressable market and build on the success of Thar, what you have. So is there thinking somewhere on these lines? Because I understand Anand has mentioned that Thar is a pretty large and a long project for you guys. It's just not what you have launched now. So just wanted to know your thoughts around that.
Yeah, Pramod, thanks. I still remember your question last analyst meet about whether this is going to be mainstream or not. And I hope you are satisfied looking at that 45% automatic number, which is definitely not off-roads. So it is mainstream right now. Specific answer to your question is yes, we will look at broadening the Thar family without losing its core essence. And five-door could be part of that, but there are many other things we are thinking around on how to make it more mainstream than it is. I think it's already mainstream and will be mainstream even in a three-door format. There are definitely opportunities to make it into a very strong franchise. And we've already triggered work on that. Pawan, you want to come?
Oh, great. Great.
No, I think you've covered it. Nothing more. Yeah, last question.
Okay, I think I'll give it a pass now. I think, yes, Ram, I'm thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Pramod. The last question is from Chirag Shah of Edelweiss. Chirag?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, Chirag.
Yeah. So two questions. First, on the quarterlies. So the other expense line item, if we see, and in general costs, are significantly lower. Is it also a function that because tractor contribution is high, the OPEX cost is on the lower side over there, and hence the number is looking, if the mix stays the way it is, hypothetically, the cost sheet will look in the same way, especially on the other expense, which is more discretionary in nature. Would it be a right assessment?
Rajesh?
I'm not sure, Pawan. Anish, I'm not sure which line item Chirag is.
Other expense, so if you look at raw material and staff cost, I well understood. But the other expense, which is all discretionary, admin as well as marketing and SG&A type of spend.
That's a fixed cost, I think. What you're referring to is fixed cost?
It'll be both fixed cost and variable cost. Other expenses is what we're talking about.
So is it other apart from material cost? Is that the item?
Material cost.
I think now normally that's how it is. Material cost, people cost, and other costs.
I'll respond. Okay.
Item is reasonably lower. Is it also a function of the mix because tractors are on the higher side for us, and the activity level required in tractor is far lower than what is required for the auto part, okay, and hence.
And no, Chirag, let me try and respond. And if needed, Sriram can come back to you with more information within the realms of what is okay to share in the public domain. But the way I would interpret this is that we've actually taken harder calls on the auto side on fixed cost rationalization, and marketing spend and the approach to overall marketing spend has been one very significant one. You've seen, and I'm repeating again, that the Thar, we've marketed it in a way in which we've spent very, very little in mainstream advertising. And that has been a very conscious call to create this excitement with very little mainstream advertising. And we've also taken a very conscious call on how we sequence the monies that we spent on multiple auto brands and making sure that it's not all happening at the same time. And we are going to follow a very focused brand building strategy in line with our core SUV DNA that I've spoken about. So that's one very tangible approach to how we're looking at marketing. Pawan and I have both covered various other initiatives that we've taken to rationalize the way we do business. That's applicable both to the tractor side and the auto side, but much more on the auto side, because clearly, auto went through a longer period of recovery cycle, whereas tractor did get into recovery cycle as early as, third week of May, early June. So I won't attribute it to FEX versus auto, but I think it's just more, much harder view at how to manage business expenses. And hopefully we will try to keep a lot of them going.
But
maybe I'm not, my answer is more intuitive right now. If there is any other granular detail, then Sriram can talk to the finance team and get back to you within what can be shared. But my answer right now, I would say, is intuitively right. You may still be right by way of the mix, but I don't think that's the fact.
Yeah. And second is for Anish on capital allocation. While you, as a team, you all are doing a wonderful job. So there are two questions. One is taking impairment, and the second element is loss funding. While in SsangYong, you have categorically called out that loss funding is unlikely to happen. Would it be right as a right statement that a large part of loss funding in other so-called C category companies is also out of question? Because impairment is what you've historically booked in your on your balance sheet, and I'm more looking at the future perspective from cash flow perspective.
So on that, see, as I said, anything that's C category, we want to have a clear answer this year. In fact, A and B will have a clear answer as well. So we will not continue with significant loss funding for any company next year. Most of our companies in category A and B will not require a significant amount of loss funding. Because as I said, if you have to be on a path to 18% ROE in the next 3 to 5 years, you need to be closer to break even today. And what we are seeing across the companies and farm subsidiaries, at least, many of them are close to break even, some have broken even already. And we'll see a positive trajectory from there. So therefore, if I were to put the companies, you know, let me give a little more background on this, because many of you have asked this question. And if I were to look at it today, I would say that there are a set of companies that are trending towards A or B. The reason we are not categorizing them is to stay consistent with our detailed methodology, that we need not only a path to 18% ROE, but also milestones. And we need the conviction that we can get there. And some, we are close to that conviction, but we don't have it as yet. So we'll come back on that as soon as next quarter for some, and then fourth quarter for everyone. So there are a reasonable set of companies that will fall in category A and B. For those that are falling in category C, a large majority we've taken care of already. Chips Aero was the latest one. And I'm not saying that there won't be any more in C, but what I'm saying is that the big part of the problem is behind us on that. So the other entities that are there, we would not expect significant amounts of loss funding going forward. And therefore, all the problems should be addressed in this fiscal year itself.
Yeah. And just one follow-up on category A. So is the review mechanism of category A right now in the realms, or you are more focusing on category B and C companies? So like say Mahindra Finance or a Tech Mahindra, which I believe would be in category A, is there a review mechanism, peer benchmarking, and actively part of M&M as a Holdco company? Or right now the focus of M&M is on category B and C company, and then later on category A company will also come under the purview?
Okay, so let me just clarify this, because we didn't have a chart this time and we had talked about it last time. So what we're talking about A, B, and C right now is only for international subsidiaries.
Okay.
For international subsidiaries, category A will be subsidiaries that have a clear path to 18% ROE in 3 to 5 years. B will be those with a strong quantifiable strategic benefit, and C will be neither of the above and therefore on a path to exit. So at this point in time, because the losses and impairments from international subsidiaries were higher, we've decided to make sure that we close the problem once and for all, so that going from next year onwards, we don't even need to show the category international subsidiaries, because there should be zero losses there. That is our objective. Now, whether we can achieve that objective for fiscal 22 or fiscal 23, I don't know as yet. We will have a clearer answer on that by end of this year. But the objective is to try and get to zero losses and zero impairments for both of those. But that's why ABC is only for international subsidiaries.
Anish, on a lighter vein, to close out, maybe you need to have a category A plus, which is both financially, financial return as well as strategically important.
That's a good point. You and we will have to buy that category.
Huh? So and also the review mechanism of A plus category, because A plus, I presume that will also be an agenda at some point of time. If not today, maybe some point of time over there also, your review mechanisms will also start playing out.
Yes, and we are, the answer to that is all of these we are going to be reviewing on a quarterly basis. What we are doing is setting milestones. The milestones will be 6 monthly. So all of them will have clear milestones to make sure that they are on a path to 18% ROE. And that review mechanism exists today for other investments as well. So we have a set of review mechanisms in place that has been there for a long time. So there's nothing new on that front.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think it's taken very long. Sriram, you need to wrap up.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, that brings the end of the Q&A session. And thanks a lot. Back to you, Pawan, if you want to make some closing.
Okay. Remarks. Thank you, everyone. And happy Diwali to you all. And stay safe.
Yeah. Happy Diwali to all of you and families.
Yeah. Happy Diwali to everyone. Bye-bye.
Happy Diwali. And thank you, everyone.